The Youth's Instructor, March 29, 1900, John the Beloved, Part 1. The Youth's Instructor, March 29, 1900, John the Beloved, Part 1. The name of the disciple John is one of the few whose memory clusters round the earthly life of the Son of God. As John studied the life of Christ, he beheld as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and he became changed from glory to glory, from character to character, until he was like him whom he adored. He imitated the life in which he delighted. He knew the Savior by an experimental knowledge. His Master's lessons were graven on his soul. When he testified of the Savior's grace, his simple language was eloquent with the love that pervaded his whole being. As a witness for Christ, John entered into no controversy, no wearisome contention. He declared what he knew, what he had seen and heard. When insult was put upon Christ, John felt it to the very depths of his being. Christ had humbled himself. He had taken man's nature. But few could see him as John saw him. For John, the darkness had passed away. On him, the true light was shining. It was John's deep love for Christ that led him always to desire to be close by his side, and this place was always given him. Jesus loves those who represent the Father, and John could talk of God's love as none of the other disciples could. He revealed to his fellow men that which he felt it to be his duty to reveal, representing in his character the character of God. The glory of the Lord was expressed in his face. The beauty of holiness, which had transformed him, shone with a Christ-like radiance from his countenance. The life and character of Christ stood out before the world in sharp contrast with the life and character of the professedly religious rulers of the nation. His life of purity condemned their life of selfishness and iniquity. And their jealousy and hatred of him were intense. The world is gone after him, they declared, and they determined to rid themselves of him. At his trial, they hired false witnesses to testify against him. When Barabbas was placed by the side of Christ, and Pilate asked, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas? Or Jesus, which is called Christ?" The mob, stirred to a pitch of frenzy by the priests and rulers, cried, "Not this man, but Barabbas." "What shall I do then with Jesus?" Pilate asked. And they answered, "Let him be crucified." The thief and murderer was released. While the Son of God, free from even the taint of sin, was condemned to die. Evil angels under their leader, Satan, were the unseen agencies in this work. It was they who inspired the priests and rulers with the spirit of rebellion. Christ was crucified, but he rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples, and ascended to heaven, escorted by myriads of heavenly beings. At the Father's throne, he received the assurance that his sacrifice was accepted, and that the world that had been divorced from God by sin was drawn across the gulf. Receiving Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior, man might become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John's testimony in regard to the life, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ was clear and forcible. Out of the abundance of a heart overflowing with love for the Savior, he spoke, and no power could stay his words. With power he bore witness that Christ was a risen Savior. That which was from the beginning, he writes, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we study the epistles of John, we shall see why it was that this disciple could not be left in his old age to live in peace among his brethren. To please the Jews, the Romans had crucified Christ, and they now sought still further to please them by placing John where his voice could not be heard by Jew or Gentile. Thinking to silence his voice, his enemies cast him into a cauldron of boiling oil. But his testimony was not stayed. Like his master, John patiently submitted to every attempt to put him to death. And the faithful servant was preserved, as were the three worthies in the fiery furnace. As the words were spoken, "Thus perish all who believe in that deceiver, Jesus Christ of Nazareth," John declared, "My master patiently submitted to all that Satan and his angels could devise to humiliate and torture him. He gave his life to save the world. He died that we might live. I am honored in being permitted to suffer for his sake. I am a weak, sinful man. Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin and sinners. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." These words of the disciple had an influence, and he was removed from the cauldron by the very ones who had cast him in.